And welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley. And joining me now is Jeremy Lynch, who is the Stewardship Director for Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. Jeremy, thank you so much for being a part of This Green Earth today.
I'm happy to be here. Nice to speak to you.
Well, we were just talking about this being very timely for you because you have launched your new stewardship program for the year. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep. This time of year, usually it's the month of February, we launch our full season of programming. And so that begins next week, actually, the first week in March and runs through mid-November. So we host stewardship projects, so volunteer projects, working in partnership with federal land agencies, working out of field offices across the state of Utah. So that would be Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Forest Service, and in some cases, you know, parts of the Park Service as well. That begins next week.
So this is great that we're talking about this now because people can still get involved. But let's start from the beginning. What I understand is that you are in your 11th season now in doing this stewardship program. How did this all come to be, this stewardship program?
That's a great question because it predates me, of course, as does the organization by a good 25, 30 years. And a lot of what our stewardship program now does, which is getting on the ground with land managers, with the general public as volunteers, ourselves as staff to continue to be, you know, the experts on what's going on out there and how best to manage wild places. This all began years before our program did in 2016, 11 years ago, or 11 seasons, I should say, when we were, as an organization, cultivating field inventories where individuals were going out and assessing lands for their wilderness character, their value, you know, as per the Wilderness Act, as far back in the 1960s. This work, this field inventory work, began a little bit later than that and was really heralded by SUA from the 80s through the 90s and then into the modern day. And there were some folks on staff who were building relationships with individuals working for the government in these same field offices where we now partner with our program. So it was an expansion of that effort to, you know, bring our knowledge organizationally, bring the force of labor from a willing and excited and enthusiastic public to bear on the management of public lands across the state.
Yeah. And stepping back even further, can you give us just more of a 411 about the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance and what your main priorities are as an organization and how that kind of dovetails into the stewardship program?
Sure. Our organization is here for the preservation of the wilderness on the Colorado Plateau, specifically in the state of Utah. We seek to achieve this through the passage of legislation. America's Red Rock Wilderness Act is our flagship legislation, which has been around for decades now and is relaunched every year. It actually also happens to be into next week. That is Wilderness Week for our program, or I should say for our organization, wherein our team based in Washington, D.C., as well as our organizers from across the country, bring individuals from everywhere in the country to congressional and office meetings within the Capitol for an entire week to advocate for the passage of this legislation, for sponsorship, for membership, for things of this nature. And so at the core of our organization is the passage of this legislation. Amidst all of that, of course, we're working in any number of ways, litigating, advocating, organizing, and in our case, bringing volunteers out and actually helping the agencies to manage the land in their wilderness state.
And what drew you to this line of work? What was it in your background that led you to this?
Sure. I was working on landscape-based projects, more so the smaller scale, so kind of the watershed scope of how do you design in the desert for management of water, that kind of thing. Also coming from a farming background with a mindset of kind of polydiverse farming, permaculture farming, some people call it. And so moving into this work was a broader way to look at the landscape and look at that landscape connectivity, whether it is, larger water systems, wildlife connectivity, just the integrity of an ecosystem in general, and what uses are impacting that ecosystem. That's what brought me in initially, was my work in the more minute scale into this work, which feels like it has a great breadth because it covers the what seeks to be the entirety of the state of Utah. But in reality, we run about 30 projects per year. They can be anything from a half day to a 5 day backpacking trip, where we're really working in a very specific area. Maybe it's a canyon in particular, in the Red Rock Country, where we're seeking to restore, naturalize, preserve, or protect some landscape feature. And so, as broad as it is, it becomes very concise when we get down to the nitty-gritty of the work that we're actually doing.
30 projects seems like quite a lot, but there is a lot to do in this state. We do have a lot of natural land, and we have a lot of preservation to do here in our state. How do you choose these projects or prioritize them?
It's over the years, it's been a variation of, or it's been an accumulation and building of relationships with different folks who work out of different agency offices who have particular priorities or particular landscapes for which they're managing. Some offices have vast swaths of designated wilderness that need to be managed by federal regulation in a particular way. Other offices have lands identified as such, but they haven't been designated, and we want to preserve and uphold those characteristics. So we'll go out throughout the year, amidst these 30 or so projects, and conduct field work. And that's among our own team, our stewardship team, myself, and two others, as well as our broader wildlands team, which is based in Moab. Which does a lot of on-the-ground field work across the state. So we'll bring proposals, and we'll also take proposals from the agency, and we'll strike that balance of knowing that we work on wilderness and wilderness-related issues, and those will be our priority projects. And it can be arranged this year, and in follow-up from a project that was connected via a friend who happened to work for the Forest Service and had a hydrologist working on a project. Kind of south of where I am in Moab in the Manti LaSalle area. We started working on this multi-year project where hopefully we'll continue to return and work with this hydrologist or with these different hydrologists. So the scope of the projects are various, whether it's hydrology based, whether it's cultural surveys. A lot of it is managing for recreation and the impacts of recreation, whether that's mechanized on bikes, motorized of any form, or even just folks hiking into the wilderness, the impacts that can occur in the desert are innumerable.
Yeah, it seems to me that there would be a lot of education involved with this, as well as what our impacts as humans are on these places, and to have greater knowledge of what those negative impacts can be and how to maybe mitigate those.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our staff is continually educating ourselves on how best to teach while in the field, both in the field as a function of the work that we're doing, and then separately at functions. We show up at, for example, Salt Lake Community College events as a partner of their student alternative volunteer breaks. We work with various colleges and universities. Any group that reaches out to us, we'll seek to work with if we can fit them into our schedule. So that outreach and education piece is really big within our program. And it's also something that translates well and is carried over well by our grassroots organizers, who work in Utah and across the West and into the East as well, I should say.
And I do see that some of these projects are reserved for student groups or nonprofits and organizations that sign up for this. Why is it important, do you think, to get these students involved or to have people that are particularly attached to an organization?
I personally have always found it really valuable to take students out. A lot of students in Utah, whether they were born and raised here or whether they're coming here for school, have an opportunity to get out on the landscape at one point or another. And if we can help them with that, if we can cultivate that peace, and provide an experience, and in the process provide that kind of extracurricular education of what's actually going on the ground, outside of the school grounds. We'll do it. And for us, originally with our volunteer base, it was a great deal of our membership, which are folks, my age and older often. And over the years, as we've worked a lot more with schools, we've had this really great intergenerational mix of people who come out on our projects and can share different levels of experience, whether being on public lands, studying public lands, maybe being in a field relevant, public policy, or something very different, studying to become a doctor. And nevertheless, still having that opportunity to share in what it means to different people to be in wild places and how it impacts them on a very personal level. And then ultimately just being aware of the larger litigation, legislation, and the larger impacts of the movement to protect wilderness in Utah.
Yeah, are you seeing a lot of students or younger generations being more involved or being active in these projects? Are you seeing a push in that direction? I mean, I'm saying that in a hopeful way because I'm hoping this next generation very much wants to be a part of restoring some of the things that we've gone through and not respected maybe as we should have.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are seeing that. And, some of that onus I do feel is on some, for example, someone in my position who works for an organization that has the depth of knowledge and experience and familiarity with the issues to then teach about them or to facilitate the experience of bringing folks out. And so the outreach and the organizing that we do is really a big part of it, and it's something that's responded to really well. Over the years, we've worked with a lot of alternative break groups, a lot of groups that are just part of a, whether it's a high school or a college level program, studying in a particular field, environmental clubs out of Salt Lake, this kind of thing. There is the interest there, and sometimes it's the access piece, which for us, there's any number of ways to get out to the desert, to be able to do that, to bring young people out and to teach them what we already know and what we've learned from, our 40 plus years of experience as an organization is a really great starting point. We hope for them as well as for us.
Yeah, and in the past, in these projects that you've been on, is there one that sits with you that you remember or really worked in a way that is still making an impact today?
Yeah, there are any number of projects that we've worked in our national monuments on over the years. We do several each year. And for many years, we were working with a couple of different programs at the University of Utah and at Salt Lake Community College to take students out into the monument to work on naturalization, with a particular ranger who was working down there at the time. And every time we had that experience, it opened up my eyes to the different ways in which people had experienced public lands or had not. I remember being out there with a young man who was part of a program in which he joined up one of our projects, and hiked into a slot canyon. And we rose early one morning and we were both looking up, happened to be both looking up at the sky at the same time as I was starting to cook breakfast. And he looked over at me and said, "This is the first time I've seen the night sky." And so that was a really special
Oh.
experience for me to recognize that, okay, there is a great value in bringing folks out just to be here to begin with, and then to engage with those who have great experience within our program, as well as at the federal agencies who have been, maybe a ranger in a particular area for 20 years and can, as we're walking down the trail, speak to the particular ways in which the geology is causing erosion and where the dinosaur bones are, for example, in what layer. So these projects, even though these are individuals who sometimes, percolate through the systems of their universities and end up sticking around and working for those same programs and facilitating more student experience, some of them go on, obviously, with their lives and we don't see them again, but it does facilitate this return experience of Being more knowledgeable about these landscapes and in the long term, continuing to work with programming that, is foundational in the state, our colleges and universities.
Yeah, you're not only having an impact on that landscape in which you're working, but you're really having an impact on the human that's working on it too.
That's the hope, yeah, because there's so much we can do. And as you said before, there is so much land that is out there to be managed. There's only so much we can do every year, and we have to go back. Sometimes it takes 5 to 10 years to really see a visual impact and change to a landscape that we're working on. But, after the course of a 2-day project, working with someone whose mind might be shifted a little bit in terms of how they see what it means to, step on living soil crust and erode a landscape's ability to retain soil moisture, for example. That's a big change. That's a big change that's harder to, pick out of a hat, but it's there.
Right, that's a little harder to quantify, but it is there. And I think that that extends into the rest of your life and how you treat the natural world. It seems too like you have a wide breadth of programming that could be for just about anybody with different ability levels as well, because you've got multi-day backpacking trips, but you also have ones that are a little bit less intense physically as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. This year actually we have more backpacking trips than we've ever had in the past. I think we have maybe 8 out of the 30 plus projects that we're working on. But we also have projects, and not everything is posted yet. Most things are, but we have a few more to still put up that will be, for example, similar to one we did last year on National Public Lands Day, which is at the end of September on a Saturday every year, where we spent half a day out on Stansberry Island, west of Salt Lake City, cleaning up trash. Various forms of recreational trash, including shooting range trash, things of that nature, with the BLM office that manages those lands. So that's a half day opportunity. A few hours, come out for the morning before it gets too hot and buggy, and work with us and within range of the city. Otherwise, yep, we can take you 8 hours away from the city onto a plateau and into the canyons on a multi-day backpacking trip. So the great range that's there is, if anyone ever has any questions, you can look at our website, but you can also reach out to us directly. That's really the best way to do it because there's so much information about each project that it's better just to talk directly when we can.
Yeah, and the website is suwa.org, suwa.org. And how do people apply to be part of these projects?
Sure. If they just want to at first glance our projects, you can go to suwa.org/project calendar. If you wanted to apply to a project, there are links on that page as well. You can just go to suwa.org/apply. That signs you up for a monthly email list and a notification whenever we post a project or whenever we have a need for a particular project. As for example, our first project next week, we're actually because we only had about a month to recruit, still looking for a few folks to come out next week on our first project of the season, March 5th to 7th. But we have projects through the middle of November that we're still recruiting for. So if folks are interested, I'd say go on over to suwa.org/project calendar. And if you have any questions, there's the ability to reach us at volunteer@suwa.org.
And it's such an education also as I'm looking through some of these projects about our state and how incredibly diverse it is as far as its landscapes and its habitats and its ecosystems. And it's really neat to see that diversity reflected in some of these projects.
Yeah, we work across seasons, so we then have to work across landscapes in that sense. We're up in the high mountain ranges of the West Desert. We're in the high and the low points of our monuments, and we're in the desert itself when the temperature is right. We're working variously in different ecosystems. In the past, we've done a few different river trips, even working along river corridors, kind of down in the southeastern corner of the state, and so. Yeah, if you can think of a landscape that you imagine in Utah, we've probably worked on it or something like it, and we can take you there.
Why is this so rewarding to you to be a part of this organization and this work in particular?
This work in particular, I think, is rewarding ultimately at this stage, which is an evolving thing because of the people that I work with and the people that I've met over the course of this work. It's like we were saying before, there's the tangible physical work itself, and then there are the relationships that you're creating and building with the people whose careers are in land management in Utah, or the individuals who are coming out to volunteer, or the school group you talk to, and then bring out on a few days trip in Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, for example. It's the human relationship piece that's always been the most rewarding. And even though my role has evolved over time, the value of seeing the different people who have come into this program working for SUA over the past little over a decade are what still thrill me about the program, in the sense that everyone has a different perspective and take and a value to bring to what we do when we manage these public lands. There's a general encompassing umbrella of our mission, but then there's also the individual perspective. And the more perspective we have, I think, for a program like ours, the better.
Do you have a particular landscape or area in our state that speaks to you the most or is most precious to you?
Yeah, it's a good question, because there's so many different places that I was introduced to by my colleagues early on when I was starting out with this program. There's a broad area, and I sometimes point to more specific areas, but I'll just be broad here and talk about the West Desert, which is a landscape that is a series of what are called wilderness study areas. So, areas that have lands that have been identified as having wilderness characteristics, but haven't had that congressional declaration or designation of wilderness as yet. But they're these diverse and beautiful and mountainous landscapes rising up from the desert in the western part of the state that are kind of far flung from, the primary habitat of the recreator, as is Moab, where I currently live. And so I go to the West Desert when I can. It's actually a place that our team is going out to this very moment, heading that way to have a look at some things on the ground this week for projects that are coming up this spring into the fall.
Well, it is a really great program that you have created here, and I love the idea of people getting to go out and to work and get your hands dirty and get involved. And I appreciate what you do. It's Jeremy Lynch, Stewardship Director for Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. And you can learn more at suwa.org/project calendar to see if there might be one that you want to get involved with. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us on This Green Earth and sharing a little bit more about your stewardship program.
Thank you for your time. Join us on a project anytime.
I will take you up on that. Thanks again and have a great day.
You too.